Okay, what I want to do is start by asking you to, we're going to review Acts chapter 1 and then the first 13 verses of chapter 2, because that's what we've covered so far. So, what's happened? What's going on in the book of Acts? Not everyone all at once.
Chosen new apostle.
Okay, they've chosen a replacement for Judas.
Yep.
Okay. What else?
Jesus
has happened.
Disappeared.
Jesus has
disappeared. He ascended.
He ascended. Okay, Jesus ascended into heaven. Mm-hmm. That's
went
right.
Off into the clouds.
Okay. What else? Peter's becoming the leader.
He's kind of the one that's stepping up.
Okay.
Talking, so I believe that would be from God, from the Holy Spirit.
Okay. What else?
We're supposed to stay in Jerusalem until we're baptized by the Holy Spirit.
That's right. We're supposed to stay in Jerusalem.
They're hanging out together.
They're hanging out together. What are they doing as they're hanging out together?
They're praying.
They're praying. Okay.
Many people came to the Jerusalem.
Many people, you're right, have come to Jerusalem for the feast. This is a big holiday. Pentecost is a big holiday in the Jewish calendar. And so lots of people come to Jerusalem for that holiday. And so it's crowded. The city's crowded with people from all over the place. Okay, what else has happened? Yep.
Came down and filled the entire house where they were sitting.
Okay. And then what happened?
And there's appearance of the divided tongues of fire.
Yeah.
And rested in each of the believers and were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And began to speak in tongues.
Began to speak in tongues. Okay. Were you going to say?
Yeah. Holy Spirit came to the people and talked to the people in several languages.
Yep.
Not several, many, many languages.
That's
and
right.
People didn't know about, but people understand what they say. Because
that's right.
It is not their language, mm-hmm. but understand.
It's not the apostles' language. Mm-hmm. But it is the language of the other people who are out there. The crowds that have come for the holiday, they've come from all sorts of different places and they speak all sorts of different languages and they're hearing their own language. And what are they speaking in their own language, in the language of these peoples?
The mighty works of God.
The mighty works of God. Mm-hmm. So they're proclaiming God and his works to these people. Okay.
And they were amazed and perplexed.
Amazed and perplexed.
And some thought they were drunk.
And some people said they're drunk. Okay.
You know, that's an interesting result from drinking too much alcohol, that you can speak and everyone can understand you. I thought it was like the opposite.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Okay. Then what we're going to do is somebody read for me Acts chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15, just those two verses. Someone read them.
Read it. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what... Oh, I'm sorry, now on 16. Okay. Would you say 14, 15?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep, that's great. Thank you. What happens?
Peter's like, nope, not drunk.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The third hour of the day is 9 a.m.
That's not a good evidence.
So it's about 9 in the morning.
You don't see drunk people at 9.
And you don't see a lot of drunk people at 9 a.m.
He really wanted to clear it up, right? He's like, this is important.
That's right.
Listen to my words. They're not drunk.
That's right. Okay. Okay. Now somebody read for us verses 16 through 21. Okay.
But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, that declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Okay. So Peter says, no, we're not drunk. It's not that. It's this. And he quotes from the prophet Joel. And so if you go in the Old Testament, you can actually find what he's quoting here. It's in the prophet Joel. And he says, what Joel prophesied, that's what this is. Not drunk. And so what I want to do now is I'm going to give you a few minutes just to make some observations. Just look at what Peter says. He's quoting Joel, so you're going to look at, you know, how he quotes Joel, verses basically 17 through 21, and then we'll come back and I'm going to ask you some of your observations and we're going to go for there. But just right now, for now, just make some observations on Joel. Okay, you've had a chance to make some observations. Tell me something you see and hear. Anything.
The Holy Spirit comes to male, female, rich and poor.
Okay. The Holy Spirit comes to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it makes the point of servants, too, we'll say.
Of what?
It makes the point that servants will have.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this would be like slaves.
Yeah, this would be slaves.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
The end
times. What's that?
The end times.
The end times. Okay. In the last days, he starts that way, right? Okay, good. What else? Something you saw in here.
They said people are not drunk.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, the people are not drunk. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, it is 11. Why 11? Because Peter and 10 people, because Judah died. Why?
No, they replaced him.
Replaced him?
Yeah, that was in chapter 1. They got someone to replace Judas. So there are 12 of them again. Mm-hmm. What else?
The result of the pouring of the Holy Spirit, son and daughters, male and female servants shall prophesy, young men shall see visions, old men dream dreams.
Okay, yeah. The result is prophesying and dreaming dreams and visions and things like this. Okay, good. Someone else. What is something you saw?
Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Okay. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Now, in this that talks about wonders in heaven and signs on the earth below.
Yes.
Blood and fire. But that doesn't seem to fit. This current situation seems to be a prophecy of the very end.
Okay.
Because it says that the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood.
Okay.
Yes, there was a short period of darkness, but the moon didn't seem to be involved at that point in time.
Okay.
When Jesus was sacrificed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else?
Which verses you...
Verses 17 to 21. 17 to 21. That's the where he's quoting Joel. Ethan?
Yeah.
Something?
I see the promise that in the last day, if you do this, then you will be safe. You know? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The promises.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
I said the sky and ground appear a something strange.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it happened many
can't think of the English word.
Now I forget Farsi.
Oh, you forget Farsi. That's funny.
<Yeah. laughs> Oh, I forget English. So
yeah.
And you see a lot of miracles.
Yes.
And
that's right.
All of them come, people see them, and but no, maybe somebody didn't the miracle of the Jesus.
Yeah.
But notice the miracles aren't really positive. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke.
Okay.
The sun turned to darkness and the moon to blood. That doesn't.
Okay.
I'm not looking forward to that. That's
okay.
Not something I really want to watch.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? Yeah,
you
didn't think so either.
I think the most important things at the end of the 20, in the 21, mm-hmm. because. If every someone wants God help them, God save them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the message for us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. God saves those who call on Him. Okay. So let's kind of go through this, and let me just ask you some questions. Verse 17 begins with, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh." Okay, question. Are we now in the last days then? Peter says, this, you know, what you're seeing, it's not that we're drunk. We're not drunk. It's 9 a.m. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel said. In the last days.
Okay. To some degree, yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking more like this is the last epic.
Okay. So in some sense, we're in the last days right now.
Because the Spirit is being poured out.
I mean, we may use the word last days in different senses, but there is a sense in which we are in the last days.
Right.
Okay. Then what's that mean for you and me? Okay, Jesus is coming soon. Okay.
Come.
Yeah, I like the fact that you said that with a big smile.
Well, I mean, come on. Everybody wants to stay on this earth forever. I mean. Yeah.
Okay. It says, in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. What does it mean for God to pour out His Spirit?
Well, there's some explanations in there about, you know, some people will get to see dreams,
okay.
and others will get to
sure.
prophesy, but it's on all flesh.
Yes.
Just the believing flesh.
Okay.
So I wonder if it's just the proof of the understanding, the opening of the eyes to see who God is.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Anyone else? What do you think?
This was hard for me because, I mean, Jesus did say he's sitting in the Holy Spirit. So
yes.
We know that we have access to the Holy Spirit. I mean,
we do.
But then talking about particular things, it's hard to know. Is that Is it all included? Or is it, you know, is it something that's just for later on? I mean, it seems like that, because we do see in other verses about prophecy, so I mean, it seems
sure.
like that would be happening.
Yeah.
So, visions, I mean, it seems like there are other verses that can talk about that too, so.
Okay. Okay, anyone else? Only what?
Only old people?
No, it says young man will prophesy, well, the other will dream dreams. It's the damn.
Young men shall see visions, and all men shall dream dreams.
Yeah, I think it's just a way of expressing everyone. It's going to, all. If this is available to all people, and, you know, men, women, young men, old men, slaves, free, everybody. The Holy Spirit will be available for everybody. That's the idea. And so, and I don't think I would analyze it down to, well, why is it that the men see visions and that the, you know, the servants do this, and probably he's just giving a list. Okay, let me ask you this question. Then, we've kind of been talking about this, but what is the main idea of Joel here, the prophet Joel? What's his main idea?
The God will pour himself out on this whole earth.
Okay.
On all flesh.
On yeah.
On everybody.
On everybody.
Jews and Gentiles.
That's right. Okay. So it's like Paul says this, right, in Galatians 3, where Paul says there is no male and female, slave or free, Jew and Gentile, right? He says this. That's what Joel's saying. Joel and Paul are saying the same idea here. It's the same thing. In fact, it's even the same kind of context. Because here you get everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the same idea, isn't it? It's available to everyone. The everyone part is the central idea of the Joel prophecy, and that the Holy Spirit has come. That's the central idea of the Joel prophecy. He's come on everyone. And he's not making distinctions. It's not just the priests. It's the slaves. It's everybody who calls on the name of the Lord. And that's Paul's idea in Galatians 3. Here, actually, go there in Galatians 3. What's that?
It's not just the Jewish people.
Yes.
Not that it ever really
That's right. It's all flesh. Flesh is more than Jews. Now, whether Peter at this time realizes that or not is another story, because we still have to get to Acts 10. And Peter's going to have to wrestle with that whole idea of the gospel going to the Gentiles. But he's actually quoting it right here, even if he may not fully understand everything that he is quoting.
Well, part of his self-worth in his own eyes was he is the special people.
That's right.
And if God has now wiped out, there is no specialness to Israel, that takes away specialness for Peter, and that's a struggle.
Mm-hmm. It is. And this is the very start of the church.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I guess if this is a looking forward, if it's, I'm trying to think about things like...
Well, it's a looking women, forward, and go ahead, sorry.
Like women that helped with the ministry of Jesus, and when they come back up again, Joanna and
right.
both Marys, I guess. I think you can get kind of tied up in trying to answer all these questions, which men and which women, and is it young men, is it old men? I like to put everything in little boxes, you know.
Yeah.
I do think the main point in this is the everyone part.
That's the everyone part. The little boxes are examples of everyone.
Right, because it's men and women, old and young.
That's right. Slave and free.
Slave and free.
And male slave, female slave. It's everyone. That's the idea that you need to take away from this. And, you know, the boxes are examples of the big picture, the big idea. Galatians 3, starting in verse 23. This is just what Paul says. He says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed." Okay, who was under the law?
The Jewish people.
He's talking to the Jews here. Mm-hmm. We were under the law. "So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith." So the law was our, you know, it oversaw us, so to speak, until Christ came. But now we're justified by faith. It's not the law. It's Christ, because he's come now. "But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Okay, that's the idea. Compare that with Joel. In Acts 2. How are they alike?
Give me the verse again. Galatians.
Galatians 3, it's verses 23 to 29. It's about six verses or so. So how are they alike?
Well, you're talking about there isn't a distinction between Jews and Greeks, slaves and frees, male and female, for everybody is one in Christ.
Yes. And what is it in Galatians 3 that you are one in? You're in Christ, and you are all what?
Abraham's offspring.
Abraham's offspring, or earlier, sons of God. Or it's the same thing. Your children, you're God's children. Everybody has access to being God's child. Everybody. That's Paul's point in Galatians 3. In Acts 2, who has access to salvation?
Everyone
who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the same idea. You know, when you have salvation, you are God's child. This is a central concept in Christianity. Salvation's for everyone, regardless of gender, regardless of social class, regardless of race, regardless. It doesn't matter. That stuff is not what God's looking at. He's looking at something else. He's looking at your heart. That's what matters. That's what he wants. Yeah, go ahead. You were going to say something.
It just hit me that, okay, very beginning of this is a whole new order. The Holy Spirit's showing up, and the very first thing the Holy Spirit does, and by proving it's here, they're all speaking other languages.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with the Jews. I mean, it doesn't even necessarily say they were speaking Hebrew, but they were speaking all these other languages. So God was
That's right.
I want you guys to understand this is about the whole world.
Yeah.
We're done with just talking about Israel.
That's right.
Speaking Hebrew because everybody understood it in their own language, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
and I wonder how many people were speaking, because if we're just talking about the 12, there were more languages than 12 being heard.
There were.
And so if only the 12 were speaking, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it was probably, like, there was a whole group of 120,
yeah,
so
maybe
it's probably a bigger group than the 12 that are out there.
God could still do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He could still do it.
Okay, so Acts, back in Acts 2 now, verse 17. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you see this everyone at the beginning and everyone at the end. And in the middle, what do you get? Men, women, old, young, male servants, female servants. They're the example. They're the boxes we were talking about earlier. They're the example of the main idea. But the main idea is in verse 17 and 21. It's sort of like bookends of the text. That's the main idea. And the Spirit has come. Praise the Lord. The Spirit has come.
I wonder if we need to hear this in so many different ways because we don't always believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what do you mean?
Spirit just said, I come on all flesh. Well, that there's no misunderstanding there. It means everybody, right?
Yeah.
But then it's necessary in this verse to go on and say, young, old, describe every one of them.
Yeah.
It's like we don't, to kind of reinforce it. And maybe it's just reinforcing it, but it seems like we do struggle with that, obviously, as
yeah.
sinful people, of who really is the come of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you didn't understand it the first time,
well, all flesh doesn't necessarily just mean humans, does it?
Well, this...
I think that's the idea, though.
Well, I think it's the idea, but, you know, I mean, it's like,
it
hey, guys...
I mean, you can be technical about it, and, you know, all flesh, you can use the word... Words have ranges of meanings.
Right.
You go to the dictionary and look up flesh, and you're going to find 12 different meanings of flesh in English.
Right.
And context determines
yeah.
what's the meaning. And so
here,
the context is the context is all people.
Yeah, I'm just thinking whole world.
He's not talking about dogs or something.
No.
Flesh can mean that in English. It actually can mean that in Greek too, but that's in the context. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about animal flesh. He's talking about people, all people. That's the idea.
But it's interesting to me that it's talking about prophesying and seeing visions and the gifts of the Spirit, right?
Yes.
And yet there are those in our world that say those are over. Well,
yes.
I don't see that.
Yeah.
If the Holy Spirit is here and he says this is what the Holy Spirit will do.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go.
I've not been experienced that. I mean, yes, in the Old Testament he did some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he's still doing this.
Yeah.
You're right. Like in the Muslim world, a lot of Muslims become Christians because of visions. They had a vision of the man in white, and they realized that vision was Jesus in some way, and they start exploring. And I can think of stories after story after story of that. I mean, when I went to Indonesia, I told this story before, but I was sitting there talking to a guy. He was paralyzed, Indonesian, very poor, dirt poor. And we were talking through a translator because he did not know English. And the translator, the Indonesian minister who was ministering to this guy knew his story. And so he told me, ask him about his dream. So I did. I said, tell me, I hear you had a dream. Tell me about your dream. So he tells me his dream. And he said that he dreamed that he was, he had fallen into a great river. And he was drowning in the river. And he said, suddenly, this great white lion came over the water and snatched him out of the river and took him here. And he interpreted that to mean that a white man was going to come and somehow save him. Well, this guy lived in a very remote village in Indonesia, and he doesn't see white men. But here's one sitting right here talking to him right now. And so, and I told him, oh, your dream isn't about a white man. Your dream is about Jesus. He's the one who's going to save you. Because in the Bible, Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. And he's the great lion. And anyway, we had this conversation. This guy had this vision, right? He'd had this dream about Jesus. And this still happens. That's my point is, this still happens. This kind of thing. Okay, then, if all of this is true, you know, Joel, Acts chapter 2, God pours out his spirit on everybody. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter whether you're man or woman, whether you're rich or poor. None of this matters. If all this is true, then how should we think and how should we live? How should this affect how we think and live?
Well, we shouldn't withhold the truth from anybody.
Okay, yeah.
Because everyone, all flesh, whether they look or act or even seem like they might be interested, they should all be offered.
Okay. Good. Anyone else?
And it might give you a mission mindset.
Okay.
To be somebody that goes and teaches about, you know, the Holy Spirit coming, teaches about Jesus.
Yeah.
So that everyone will have an opportunity to call on the name of the Lord. And, you know, God can do that just by his Holy Spirit. He can just bring the knowledge of God.
Okay.
I think also it's really... look at it as us needing to go, believers need to go, be sure everyone knows this.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, the people there at Pentecost hearing the mighty works of God.
Okay. Anyone else? If this is true, how should we think? How should this affect how we think and live?
We shouldn't be putting down visions, dreams.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we shouldn't be putting that down.
Yeah.
Okay. What
just
else?
Checking.
What's that?
Just checking them.
Yeah, checking them. Test every spirit, yeah. John says in 1 John. Just because there is a dream doesn't mean it's from God.
True.
But God does still give dreams.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Good. What else? How should this affect how we think and live?
We should call on the name of the Lord so we will be saved.
Okay. Okay, yeah, for you personally, call on the name of the Lord.
Well, what does this mean about the people who can proclaim to others the word of God? Your daughters can proclaim the word of God. If, you know, if the Holy Spirit is on all people, then what does that mean as far as, I mean, sure, the men, I mean, can, even servants, I guess, but, you know, whoever it is, but the prophesying of daughters, that's been kind of an issue. So what does this mean about, I mean, what could this mean about just limiting anybody from having the Holy Spirit, but does this also include teaching?
So your question is getting at more. So you're saying, what do we do then with like 1 Timothy 2?
What do we do with women that have things that they're prophesying? You know, can they tell these prophecies to everybody?
So
I don't know. It's just kind of touched on.
Have you proclaimed the gospel to Tina?
Mm-hmm.
You have.
Yeah.
Okay, well, can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You can.
And Anna was doing it in Luke 2.
Okay.
When Jesus was born, or Luke 2, anyway, she was proclaiming to everyone.
Okay.
That was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She was telling them about the Messiah was here.
Yeah.
The old lady running around telling everybody stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people that thought she was crazy.
And this one for myself, it might be as well good to go back to Joel and see what was happening there, if that has any sway on this prophecy being, you know, quoted here.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I think it's a question.
So this is what Acts 2, Joel, is dealing with is access to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's dealing with. And he is dealing with proclaiming things because they're prophesying. That is a type of proclamation. And so it's not restricting women from doing anything in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, what this is not talking about is a specific role within the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is what Paul's getting at in 1 Timothy 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and people have difficulty with this because they don't make these distinctions. They either say they take 1 Timothy 2 and squash this out. Some people do that. Some people take this and squash out 1 Timothy 2.
1 Timothy 2 says,
I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man.
Right.
And the context is basically pastoral ministry within the church, basically elder, pastor within the church. That's the context.
And the church hasn't really
done that. And we need to take both of them and see that they're actually referring to something different.
Mm-hmm.
They're not referring to the same thing.
Well, this is talking about God speaking to people. It's not
yes.
people speaking to God. It's God. It's communication this way.
Yes. Well, prophecy is then
well, I know,
speaking
but,
to people.
But it's God telling his thoughts to men through the dreams, through the...
Yes.
Yeah. And he's not limiting who he will tell.
Yeah.
That's right.
He can
that
tell
is correct.
Anybody, which yeah. might be really tough on some little kid.
I mean, it kind of changes our view of people in a way to know that no matter who it is that comes in, if they've just gotten out of prison, if they're in
yeah.
prison, if they're whatever, that they have the same access to God as we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that they need to know as much as we did, and that we all could be standing before God praising him in heaven someday. You know what I mean? It's it kind of gives more of a people are created by God and they're have access to God just like we do. I mean, there's no difference in that sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it makes you value people more in that respect.
Yeah. Anyone else? Good. It was a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if everyone has access to salvation,
yes.
How do we explain Ephesians 1:5?
Okay. Ephesians 1:5. Tell me what it says.
That God predestined
the election.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Election versus free choice. Yay.
So, the short answer is, I don't know. I believe in predestination. I also believe that people have some role. There's some, you know, we have to repent. We have to believe. And I believe both of those things. And then you ask me, how do you put them together? And I say, I don't know how I put them together exactly. But I see them in Scripture. I see both of them in Scripture. And because I see both of them in Scripture, I'm going to hold on to them and believe them. And I am not of the opinion that I have to fully understand God and how God works and how everything. In fact, I am of the opinion that if I did fully understand God, He wouldn't be God. God, by definition, is so much bigger than I am and so much more powerful and grander and more beautiful, and I don't have to understand everything about Him. And so I'm okay being that way. And to be honest with you, we people generally are okay with that in other areas. You know, in like scientists, there are all kinds of things scientists do not understand. And the more they learn, the less they know. And now they're faced with this, I don't know how to put this together. This is what the data says. It says this and it says this. And you say to the scientist, how do you put those two things together? And he says, I don't know. And they're okay with that. Because that's, we understand this. We actually understand this idea of things being beyond our ability to understand. We do it all the time. Okay, well, if a scientist can do it, why can't I do it with God? And that's how I approach that question. And there are other issues like that, you know, the Trinity, the Incarnation. You know, there are things like that that I don't fully understand, I don't fully grasp, and I'm okay with it because I'm dealing with God, and God, after all, is God. And He can be mysterious. And so, now there may be people who will give you, you know, more explanation than I don't know. But I found when I've listened to their explanations, they tend to either predestination squashes out, you know, our responsibility to do something, or our responsibility squashes out predestination. And I'm not satisfied with either of those approaches. But that's a great question. Anything else? What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, what's that mean? To call on the name of the Lord?
Believe.
Believe. Okay. What's that? Fully submit to the Lord. Okay. Acknowledge who He is.
The name is who He is. So you're calling on His character.
Okay.
Usually when you call on someone, you're asking for help.
Yep, right.
Someone to save you.
Okay.
So we're seeking the Lord for those things.
Yes.
That they were talking
about. Yeah, the context is salvation, isn't it? Here. If you're calling for help, you're calling for salvation. Okay.
You feel Him in the bottom of your heart.
Okay. So when you're calling on the Lord to be saved, I guess that would mean then you don't think you can save yourself.
True.
Or you wouldn't be calling on the Lord. If you felt you could do it, why call on God? That's a big step to people knowing God. Is first, before you call on God, you have to realize you can't save yourself. You can't just be a good enough person for holiness. You can't. You need that song, like, I need you, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. That's you have to come to that point to call on the Lord.
You must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him.
Okay. Who is the Lord? Okay.
The Lord God Almighty.
Okay. He is. And this is a quote from Joel.
Right.
And so Joel doesn't have Jesus in mind here. Joel has Yahweh
right.
in mind here. In fact, that's the word that he uses. Yahweh is the Lord. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go to verse 38.
Acts 2, 38.
In Acts. Just somebody read Acts 2, verse 38. Same. This is the same sermon. We just haven't gotten there yet, but we'll get there. But somebody read that verse.
And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Everyone who calls on the name of who?
The Lord.
Yahweh. And who? Jesus Christ. What Peter is doing is he's bringing Jesus into this everyone who calls on the name of the Lord thing. It's not what Joel had in mind, but Peter is saying, you call on the name of Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. And so this is a huge transition in thinking, how Jews would think. And so he's equating Jesus with the Lord. You want to be saved? Well, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
And then you get with God.
That's right. And then you will receive the Holy Spirit.
You will receive God.
That's right.
Which is kind of a radical thought when you think about it. I mean, we grew up with it, so it makes sense to us. But can you imagine them? Excuse me, I get what? I get God? And that's pretty radical.
Yeah. Okay, if we're in the last days, how should we live?
Like the steward who's been given a talent. And waiting for the master to come back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting for the master to return. So then, if you're waiting for the master to return, how do you live while you wait?
You invest.
You invest.
Mm-hmm.
What are you investing?
Well, you're taking what you've been given and trying to help it multiply. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what have you been given?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, okay. What else?
Salvation.
Salvation, okay. What else?
The knowledge of how you can be saved.
Okay, the knowledge of how you guys know how you can be saved, don't you?
Yeah.
But there are people out there who don't. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, they need him. They need what you got. Okay, what else do you have?
The gospel.
What's that?
The gospel.
The gospel. Okay.
Share your faith. Testimony.
You have a testimony?
Yeah.
You have a story that's your story?
And he's okay. given us, it's like the master went away. He gave us tasks.
Okay. You have tasks to do. Okay. Okay, so let's put all of this together now. And how then should we live? We're in the last days. How then should we live? You've been given all this stuff.
Holy.
Okay, we're to be holy. Yeah?
Because he could come tomorrow and you don't want to be out of fellowship when he shows up.
Okay, yeah.
Fear.
Okay, and the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, obey.
Okay. Yeah. Using your gifts for His kingdom. I mean, you belong to Him. And He's given you so much. You know, we didn't even talk about gifting, which, you know, we're all different. And so He's given, all those things you guys have mentioned are kind of common things, but gifts are different. And so we're all Christians, and so there's things we have in common, but we're not the same. We're different. And so use those gifts for His kingdom, whatever they happen to be. If it's evangelism, evangelize. If it's teaching, teach. If it's compassion, show compassion to people. If it's, you know, whatever it happens to be, service, serve. But use them for His kingdom, whatever those gifts happen to be. Okay, any questions or comments anybody wants?
What are your questions?
She's got a lot to say today. Okay. Let's see. Miriam, would you close us in prayer this morning? Yeah.